I was in corporate sales. I was climbing the corporate ladder, doing all the things, and it just still felt empty. And I was laid off in June, very unexpectedly. I knew that I had been building something in the background that was already creeping in. I was like, this is go time. I wanted to be able to start a company that was just part of me and honoring my family and my culture. So to find out that my cousin has a tea farm that he's just been growing tea at for the last 60 years was just like everything aligning.
You shine to a certain extent in a job where you're working for someone else, but when it's you selling something you love, there's just no comparison.
Origins Tea is called Origins Tea because I want to bring tea back to its original form, which is loose leaf tea. Tea is a tool of connection. Tea is how we bring people together in a room where we can deepen connections, learn about culture, and really build community.
If we could go back to accessing our roots, I think there's like a level of depth that you find that you're like, wow, I have so much to me that I didn't realize.
Welcome to the Fully Expressed podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey guys, on today's episode, we are sitting down with Rianne Nicholson, who is the owner of Origins Tea. We're so excited for you to hear this conversation because from moving across the globe to starting her own business, Rianne is no stranger to adapting to change. When she was just 9 years old, she moved from China to the United States and really carried with her the cultural heritage that she had living in China. However, she has struggled over the years to figure out how to bring both cultures together until she founded Origins Tea.
This episode was so beautiful because the gift that Rianne has been able to experience has been able to leave the corporate environment and really build Origins Tea. And Origins Tea not only has brought her back to her identity, really getting to know who she is and her authentic self, but the entrepreneurship world has allowed her to tap back into who she really is. And you can really feel that as she shares her story when it comes to the tea, her culture, and just how she's navigated this season. And I really promise not only are you going to fall in love with tea, but you're going to fall in love with her too.
What makes her business so unique is that she is really about community and cultivating community and using tea as a way to connect people. And you feel that in this interview. So we cannot wait for you to listen.
Hi, Rianne.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited you're here.
I am so excited to be here. I feel like this has been kind of a work in progress and feels surreal to be here. I'm so excited.
We're so happy to have you here. I mean, you know one of our dear friends, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. Did you work with Kelsey?
So how I met Kelsey, just a little bit of a backstory. I actually met her during college. I was a sophomore and she was like one of the star alumni coming back to our women's in leadership group.
Oh, cool.
And I met her because I really connected with her story of working a corporate job and starting her business at the same time. And as soon as I heard her story, I was like, oh, that is a path that I want to pursue someday. Like just seeing that was like possible. I was like, wow, she's so cool. So I connected with her afterwards and I was like, hi, would you want to be my mentor? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. Send me your phone number and an emoji and we can connect.
And an emoji. Oh my God.
And I just thought she was the coolest person ever. And yes, we've been super close ever since. And we worked in a corporate setting as well. My first corporate job after college was in the same company as her on different teams. So we always just stayed close and stayed in contact. And even so, when we moved to California, we didn't talk to each other about it at all. But it was like a month apart from when I moved to when she moved.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's just fun to be able to share that journey and now branching that out to both of you and having that connection too.
Oh, so good. We always say the podcast has brought us one. I met Kelsey outside of the podcast, but it always brings us the best people.
Yeah.
The connections are just incredible. And we're so excited to get to know you here today.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I mean, you have done that where you have gone from corporate to like building your own business. So can you share with them, what do you do? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yes. So my company is called Origins Tea and I started the company last August. So August of 2025. And it was a big transition going from a fully corporate environment into entrepreneurship because you go from an environment where it's so structured and so discipline to something where you're like leaning into your full creativity. But in my corporate environment, creativity was something that I craved the most. Mm-hmm. I felt like going into a corporate environment, it was always something that was idolized, especially as an immigrant, as somebody who grew up in a multicultural household. That was something that you idolized, the stability, the finances, and climbing the corporate ladder was just like, that is something you strive for. But when I got there, I was in corporate sales. I was climbing the corporate ladder, doing all the things, and it just still felt empty. I still felt like there was something so lacking about the fact that, like, maybe I wasn't leaning into my full identity. I wasn't leaning into my passion. I was definitely not getting the creative energy that I was getting from my job. And it was always in the back of my mind, like, wow, if I could start my own business one day and pursue my own dream, that is where I want to be. But of course, that fear of, you know, societal expectations, of financial stability, all of that just kind of gets in the back of your head. And I felt like that's what kept me in the corporate environment for the amount of time that I was in there. And when I was in my corporate job last summer, I had already started up the company. I had already started up Origins Tea. And it was just kind of like a matter of time when I would just be like, okay, well, if the time comes, I'm just going to be ready. When the time comes, I'm going to quit and it's going to be great. And I'm going to just go into my business. Well, of course, life doesn't happen that way. Yeah. And I was laid off in June, very unexpectedly. My whole team was actually laid off. And I, instead of dwelling in the fact of like the uncertainty and what was going to happen, I knew that I had been building something in the background that was already creeping in and already like taking up space in my heart and in my day to day. So just given that transition of getting laid off, I was like, this is go time. This is when I'm going to fully lean in. And ever since then, I've been able to just create my daydream into my day to day with Origins Tea. And now I'm running a business that is so, feels so aligned with who I am, just with my identity culturally, and doing what I love to do. So
I love that.
It's been great.
So something we talk about is the edges you meet when you are doing something like leaving a safety or a corporate job to go into your own entrepreneurship journey or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that came up for you and how did you navigate through them? Because that's like a big leap to go from having security and safety and then to be let go.
Yeah.
And then decide to go all in on you.
Yeah. I mean, those fears still come up every day. I feel like I wouldn't be authentic to myself if I didn't say that they don't come up. I think the main drive of what I felt in my heart was that my passions are always going to come through no matter what, and no matter what setting I'm in. It was just a matter of knowing what I wanted in my own self. And that passion had to overcome that fear. And I feel like when you have a passion that is like weighing on you, it's on your heart, it's just a matter of time of when it comes through. There's never going to be a perfect timing of when that is going to happen or when the perfect jump is going to happen. I feel like the universe rewards you for taking big risks and big leaps. And it was just a matter of time of when that leap was going to come. And when it did come, when I was laid off from my corporate job, I felt like that opportunity was met with preparation. It was the fact that like I had already been building something in the background. I had the vision of my business. I had, you know, ideas of what I was going to create. It was just the fact that I didn't have time. And so now that having the time, but maybe not having as many financial resources as I did before, it was just a fact of like, I knew that I was living to my fully aligned self that really drove me to lean into my passion. I knew that the rest was going to come because it always does. So having your passion outweigh your fear, I would say would be like the biggest thing I would tell somebody going through that transition right now.
Have your passion outweigh your fear. I mean, that's so, so good because we've both talked about this so much. It's really just remembering the vision.
Yep.
Like, what is the vision and why are you doing it? And like, what inspires you to do it? Like, that's the thing's gonna carry you through the hardship, like through the messiness, the uncertainty, or the parts of you that come up. And it can be louder if you let it.
Yeah.
And you got to let it, you know, let it be so loud that the fear gets so much quieter.
Yeah, you have to. I feel like if you are driven by fear, even in your business, in any part of your life, you are almost, you're creating from a place of scarcity and you're creating from a place of that fear. So you really have to just let your passion ring through because that's going to show in all of the other areas of your life, all of the other outputs that you put out in the world. Because people are going to see how passionate you are. People are going to see how you just light up when you're doing something that you love, and that's going to be well reciprocated.
And now they get to feel your energy, and it comes out in the tea. It comes out when you get to present and share your gifts and your business, which is so cool. It's like you shine to a certain extent in a job where you're working for someone else, but when it's you selling like something you love, there's just no comparison.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I felt that in the corporate environment. I felt like I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't, or trying to be a model of myself that I thought I wanted. Always having this like outside expectation or societal expectations of like what I should be, who I should be, how I should dress, how I should talk. And it was very much like, I don't feel like me. And it's so funny, because I even had one of my managers like one time do a check-in with me. And during my corporate job, she was like, hey, you're doing really well. Like you're climbing up at a really quick rate, but I don't feel like you're being yourself. I feel like you're just very polished. You're just, you kind of just need to relax a little bit. And I was like, at first I was like,
how do I take that?
Yes. It what was do you almost mean? Like, is this a compliment or is this like a dig? Yeah. Because I was like, I feel like this is how you should show up at work. You know, like I feel like as women, they always tell you like you're either too much or not enough. Mm. You're either too polished or you're
too messy.
Yeah, or you're too messy. You're either too strategic or you don't have your life together. And I just felt this like I never could show up as myself in that environment. And I questioned if I would ever be able to show up as my true self working for somebody else. That's why like entrepreneurship was just it lit a fire in me that I was like, yeah, I want to create my own path. I want to create my own passions, but more so even bringing in my cultural identity into it, that was even more of like the cherry on top. So I think that, you know, when people are telling you that, or maybe you think that you need to fulfill one version of you that is driven by outside expectations, that is just, that's again, that fear talking in the back of your head.
So tell me more about this new identity that you've been able to find since entrepreneurship, because I feel like you're talking to like you did not feel authentic in that role and that space, but entrepreneurship has given you the permission to more step into your authenticity, and it sounds like to really own your culture.
Yeah.
Did you always feel super connected to your culture and your background, or did you like shelf that for a little bit? Like, what did that process look like before you got to like really own that in the business that you're creating?
Yeah, I definitely think starting this business, starting Origins Tea, was like me finding my way back to myself. And it was really healing for me, because I did shelf my identity for a long time. And it came as a product of it just came out a product of my circumstances, because I moved to the United States when I was 9 from China. So I grew up in China in a big, lively city, moved to countryside, rural Minnesota. Where?
Oh my gosh! Wait, what city in China were you from?
Farmington, Minnesota.
No, in China.
What oh, in China. I'm from Liuzhou, China. So it's in the Guangxi province.
Oh yeah, Guangxi.
South central China. Really beautiful river city. And moving to Farmington, Minnesota, it was just like, whoa, huge change. But you know, I was 9 years old, and I was just someone who was outgoing, and I was someone who was just willing to just absorb everything around me. And that came from also just wanting to fit in as well, assimilate to the kids around me, assimilate to the culture around me. I was very blessed to just like have a lot of kids to play with in my neighborhood that were also my age, so they helped me learn English, because English is my second language. And they helped me learn English just by watching Disney Channel and listening to Taylor Swift and running around all summer. When I moved, it again, like when I started going to school, I felt like I just had to be somebody else. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be the girl that was from another country. I didn't want to be the only Asian or Chinese girl in class. Like, I just wanted to be like everybody else. And same thing growing up. I remember specifically telling people that, oh, my hair's not black. It's dark brown. Because like it was just like that internalized shame that I felt that I needed to hide my cultural identity because of the fact that I couldn't relate to people around me. There was nobody else besides my mom who moved with me that I could speak Chinese to, who I could, you know, eat the foods that I grew up around. So it was kind of definitely an isolating journey that led me to suppress this part of my identity that I had yet to uncover. And we try to go back to China and visit every year or every 2 years. During COVID, it was a little bit of a time gap. But I remember just like feeling so anxious every time I went back to China because of the fact that like I felt like I had lost so much of myself that I didn't know how to connect back to that culture, connect to the way that people used to see me. And that was also really isolating too. So I always felt like I was just in between two worlds. Corporate to entrepreneurship. My Chinese identity to my American identity. There was never like, man, can I just be myself? Until I started my business, until I started this brand that is like so fully myself that I felt like it was a coming home. Mm. It was me honoring my identity. It was me honoring the part of me that I hid for so long. And Origins Tea is called Origins Tea because I want to bring tea back to its original form, which is loose leaf tea.
Yeah.
But it was also me honoring my family and honoring that part of myself that I've suppressed for so long. So it's like, it's a coming home. It's a homecoming.
It's so beautiful because I think that's what entrepreneurship can do. Yeah. Like, even if you're not, let's just say, like, I mean, you brought it back to your culture, but it does give you permission to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is in business, like, you kind of have to be your brand, you know? Like, and so people want to buy from you, they want to feel you. And the more that you're connected to your authentic self, the more that you step into that, the more people relate to that, you know? And when you're building from that place, I mean, you're untouchable in so many ways because one, you feel confident in yourself and other people feel that too.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, again, that confidence comes from just owning who you are in your depths of yourself. And I think that like entrepreneurship, I look at it in the analogy of like you are entering like an art gallery. You're entering a room where there is multiple different light fixtures. And when you turn on one light, it doesn't light up the whole room. Mm-hmm. There might be different corners of that room that aren't lit up until you walk closer to it, you flip on that light, but you have to choose to want to confront whatever is in that dark corner. So you have to confront that shadow or that trauma that you've tucked away for a long time to be able to know like, okay, this is my fullest self and I have to own it because now this is my brand. This is like who I am as a person. If you don't own up to every corner of yourself that you've been hiding, again, it's going to surface and it's going to be something that might potentially block you from having those big jumps in your career, those big jumps in identifying who you are as a person. And I'm just really fortunate that like this product of my company, you know, this company that I'm creating has brought me to that, has led me to exploring those deep parts of myself that I've tucked away for a long time. And now, now I feel like I'm a better person. I feel like I'm a better business owner. And I feel like I'm just more of an authentic person because of it.
And the cool thing is you learn as you go. Yeah. You know, I think so many people are afraid to take the leap into entrepreneurship because it feels so overwhelming. And they're thinking so far ahead that they worry about how am I going to get all the way over there? How's that going to happen? I don't even know what I'm doing. But you're such a beautiful example of like you figure it out and it almost guides you, I feel like, in entrepreneurship. And I think besides relationships, entrepreneurship is the greatest spiritual journey in work.
Yes.
It really tests every part of you. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the ways that you've reconnected with your culture?
Yeah, I think that with Origins Tea, my tea products, my tea leaves comes from my family farm in China. It is also hand harvested by my cousin. So it's like that's directly cool. from the source. And when I started this company, I didn't know how that was all going to connect. I just knew that I wanted to be able to start a company that was just part of me and honoring my family and my culture. So to find out that my cousin has a tea farm that he's just been growing tea at for the last 60 years was just like, what?
That's everything aha aligned.
Yes, everything was like in alignment.
It's just the universe saying you're on your path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything was in alignment. But the act of just like, you know, finding myself and finding my cultural identity, my cousin comes from my paternal side of the family. Mm-hmm. And my paternal side of the family, I have been very disconnected with because my parents separated when I was 5 or 6. Okay. So super young. I was still in China at the time. And ever since then, we've lost touch. And now, you know, having moved to the United States at 9 years old, we didn't keep in touch. And his health, my father's health, like slowly declined. And I didn't even know it. Mm. When I was 13 years old, I was visiting China again. And that's when my grandparents had told me that my father was not doing well. And later on that year, he passed away. And it felt like such a ambiguous loss because I was you know, technically estranged from him. And like, I didn't know him growing up, but he was still so much a part of me as I am part of him that I didn't know how to mourn. And I didn't know how to face my paternal side of the family. So they were always, again, that dark corner tucked in the room that like I didn't want to face until I felt like I just couldn't put it off anymore. You know, I knew that I wanted to confront this trauma. I knew that I wanted to learn more about my father, to be able to honor him in a way that like I'm an adult now. Like I know how to make emotionally intelligent decisions rather than as a teenager who was still processing something so big that had just happened. And so when I did go back to my paternal side of the family, but my father's family, learned that I had all of these cousins and all of these people who loved me and supported me even when I wasn't close to him. That was just like so eye-opening to me. And it was almost like I felt like God and the universe was like gifting me this opportunity to like
heal that part
and lean more into what it means to honor family, what it means to honor my culture. And that's when I found out that my cousin had a tea farm. And I was like, man, tea is something that I always grew up with. It is a ritual. It is a tradition in my family that has always been around, especially in the Chinese culture. So it was just like a light bulb went off in my head. And it's like, this is exactly how I do that. This is exactly how I honor my family. This is exactly how I honor myself. And this is how I bring high quality loose leaf tea to the Western market.
And that's so cool because I think we've gotten so disconnected from where our food comes from. Like unless you are lucky enough to shop at farmers markets but when you think of tea or coffee or these things, you're not connecting where they're coming. You have no idea who's the one actually farming the product.
Yes.
So that is such a beautiful thing that you get to share and like gift people is like, oh, I know exactly who's picking this. And it's my family, which is so cool.
Yes, exactly. And I think like with such culturally rich food such as tea or coffee or any other products out there, we browse the shelves at the grocery store and we don't think about that. We don't think about where they come from, and we don't give that credit where credit is due, because tea comes from ancient China. Like that is where it originally comes from, and that has been the source, the product, the, you know, source of life for centuries to come. And I think that when you're just at shopping in a grocery store, you're just grabbing a tea off the shelf, you don't have that intention or that knowledge and awareness of even the history or the culture of where it comes from. So that also plays into the name of my company, Origins Tea, is that we're bringing everything back to where it started, the root of the tea, the root of culture, the history, everything you get. And I always like to say that with Origins Tea, our teas are as rich as the culture itself or the history itself, because that is what you get with the tea product. And that's what you should get when you are having that awareness of shopping of where your food comes from. So it's so important.
This is so good. I love this. I want to pivot a little bit to like, now that you're in entrepreneurship, what has worked for you? Because I see you so busy online. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But also like what's been working? So like when you kicked it off, like what were the things that you knew were either going to help build your brand to really be able to share this beautiful story that you're sharing with all of us? What has really worked and what's sticking?
Yeah.
And what hasn't worked?
Yes, that's such a good question. I think in the beginning, I was still grappling with that transition of entrepreneurship itself. I would often find myself comparing to other entrepreneurs online who have the perfect packaging, the perfect product, the perfectly curated Instagram feed. And I would be like, oh man, I'm just not there yet. And I created from that space of comparison and scarcity where I thought, oh, well, I need all the branded merch. I need the, perfectly curated products and brand. And while those things are very helpful, while those things are great to build up your business, I think something that I really leaned into was my voice behind the business. Because when I started the business, I knew that I didn't necessarily want to have the best tea products out there. I didn't want to be the person that was the most knowledgeable about tea. It was just, I wanted to be almost like an ambassador for tea culture. I wanted to be someone who spoke about it, because my passions are public speaking, and I really like to be able to connect with people, learn about what lights them up inside, and learn about how I can help them. And that was something that I leaned into with tea culture, because tea culture is about socialization, is about connecting, is about benefiting yourself and being present. So I was like, man, this connects to what I like to do on a day to day, which mm-hmm. is just connecting with people. So that's why when I started the company, I told everybody my brand was that I will have tea, but tea is a tool of connection. Mm. Tea is how we bring people together in a room where we can deepen connections, learn about culture, and really build community. Mm. So where I had success was hosting tea events and bringing people together to teach them about what a traditional tea ceremony was like and what tea culture is. Cool. And I just found, it was just so beautiful. Like, I want to come. Yes, I want everybody to come. Everybody should learn about it because it was just such a beautiful way for people to connect in a neutral environment where even if you like tea or maybe you haven't drank tea before, you can still come and show up and meet new people and talk about new things. But so back to your question, it's not about the perfectly curated X, Y, and Z. It's just about how you show up in your brand. So what really helped me the most was connecting with people, networking, and figuring out what worked in the aspect of hosting tea events and bringing people together.
I mean, that's something. So I've been an entrepreneur. I mean, I started my business. I'm still in corporate. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
But I started that back in 2019, and I focused so much on Instagram and social media and building an online brand. Mm-hmm. And the second time around with Fully Expressed has been like, no, we're doubling down on community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're doubling down on actually like making an impact on people and not so focused on the external, but more of like the internal in our world with connection to people. And I'm like, building a community with your brand is literally game changing.
Yes.
And not only from like the results in your business, but the energetic exchange that you receive. Like, how amazing are the events that you host where you like host these events and then you see people love it and you're like, wow, this instant gratification, there's so much gratitude in that. Mm-hmm. And it's endless. I mean, you don't even expect it, but then it happens naturally and you're like, wow, this wants me to keep going.
Yeah.
It fuels the business.
Yeah. It's definitely a pinch me.
Brand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pinch me moment for sure, because I walk out of these events where people show up and they come sit around the table as strangers and I'm serving them tea, we're having conversations, and they're having conversations of their own, just about their own life, the depth of their culture, how they grew up, some of the traditions that they love and want to honor. And those are the conversations, those are the spaces that I want to create. And yeah, like I said, it's just a pinch me moment for people to show up not knowing anybody, maybe not even knowing anything about tea, and walking away being like, yeah, this was really cool. I really connected with people and now I'm a tea drinker. Like, that's that's the best part about it.
Oh, I love this so much.
I love seeing this resurgence of culture coming back too. Yeah. I think people are tired of the same of everything. And I visited China in 2012 and I remember I loved it.
Yeah.
It was very eye-opening. Like, what an experience. Like, so different. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting is I have loved tea my whole life. Like, I used to go to high tea and at this little cafe down in Sports Arena and like do the British high tea. And when I went to China, I was so excited to have a tea ceremony and like go and experience that. And it wasn't really a thing at the time. Like, America was really infiltrating China in a big way. And they're like, oh, we just drink Coca-Cola. And like, it just wasn't, it was harder to find. I'm sure I could have found it, but it wasn't what I thought in my head.
Yes.
And now seeing that come back, like loose leaf tea is becoming very popular, and just like the what it brings, like you said, the presence and the patience required to wait for it to steep, and to the different flavors you can blend together. Like, there's just so much to it in the history, and I just think it's so cool that you're a part of that experience of bringing that back.
Yeah, I'm so excited to just have people learn more about it, because it is such a big part of our culture where you might not see it on the day-to-day because it's so embedded into what we do.
Yeah.
Tea ceremonies can literally mean you're sitting around this table right here and we just have tea and talk to each other. It's very social. And I think a lot of people think of it as like a meditation where nobody's talking around the table. Mm. Everybody's just kind of like in the moment. Mm. And it can be, right? Like, it can be used for those purposes. But tea culture in China, you have it during happy hour. You have it during business meetings with people. You invite people to drink tea at bridal showers. Any sort of ceremony is all just a space for a tea. For tea. When me and my husband got married, we even had tea as our unity ceremony. So I think that connects back to the culture of like the symbol of what how tea is so deeply connected in the root of culture and what we do on a day to day.
That's so cool.
How is your husband involved in Origins Tea?
Oh my gosh. He's so involved.
He's the cutest thing ever. I mean, he's very handsome. I mean, but he's also just like so supportive of you.
Yes.
Which is really, really beautiful to witness.
Yeah. We talk about the fact that he didn't know anything about tea before he met me. He didn't know anything about tea. You know, he would occasionally drink tea bags or, you know, steeped tea, but he's just the best. When I'm at events, when I'm doing the presentations, hosting the tea ceremonies, he's the one actually in the back who's making the tea and getting everything ready for me. So he's like the one that's always behind the scenes, making sure that I'm well hydrated, making sure that I'm well fed, and making sure that everything is happening in the background. Everything is going smoothly in the background to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing in the foreground to helping people create this space. And it's just so beautiful to be able to share that journey together, because I never thought that, you know, when I was going into this entrepreneurship journey, I knew that like it would be a representation of my brand, who I am as a person. But having him be so involved and so also just so passionate about what I'm creating is also just like really cool to see. See how we've been able to grow and cultivate this space together.
That's so cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what do you have the vision for where you want to see Origins Tea go?
I would love to see Origins Tea be an example for tea spaces or just connection spaces in Western culture. I think that slowly we're gravitating away from tea bags just because of microplastics and everything that goes into
perfect
the
timing.
Process.
Yeah, literally. Everyone's finding out about plastics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of the things that go
into. Thank you, Netflix.
Yes, right? I think it's just people are opening their eyes up into how their food is made, how it's processed, and how that affects our bodies. And even just like people think that a tea bag is more simplistic or convenient. Mm-hmm. And yes, it can be, but what are you giving up with that convenience? Mm-hmm. You're giving up maybe just 10 minutes to sit by yourself and be intentional with that time. You're giving up flavor. You're giving up knowing about the history of tea. So I just think that I would love to have Origins Tea be this example in the tea space of this is how you bring authentic tea to the market. But that needs to be paired with a connection piece. Like I said, tea is a tool of connection. The more that you get community involved, the more that you get other people involved into the tea ceremony, and that's how you begin to just break down the walls, break down conversation, break down divides that we're seeing today about like maybe why we shouldn't emphasize culture. And right. I mean, that's not a space that I want to be in. But so this is why like I feel like it's so important to cultivate this now.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to celebrate everyone's heritage. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew more about my own, you know? Like, it's so cool that you're reconnecting with that part of yourself. I think that's such a gift.
Yeah.
I love that you brought that up because I think about that all the time. I'm Peruvian, so I definitely love all my family stuff. But I think if we could go back to accessing our roots, like I think so often as humans, we're so focused on forward looking. But I'm like, if you look back, you also find so much.
You realize we're all connected.
Yeah, you realize we're all connected. And also, I think there's like a level of depth that you find that you're like, wow, I have so much to me that I didn't realize. And I think people go through that later in life and like their 50s, they start doing all the tests and be like, where's my family from? Oh my gosh, I'm like half Russian. I had no idea. But what if we could do that earlier on just to like start learning our own culture? I know for Nick, for example, my fiance, he's Portuguese and his dad was immigrants, but he doesn't know too much of that. But there's like this part that he's like craving to like connect back to Portugal because he's like, that's such a big part of who I am.
Yeah.
And I think the invitation on this show too is like, if you feel that, like, go listen to that.
Yeah. You should definitely explore it.
Yeah.
If there's something that is, you know, tugging at your heart that you want to explore a little more, like I said, like you want to turn that light on in the dark room, I think you definitely should, because even though it may feel scary, at least from my experience, like I never wanted to touch that corner of the space because I was scared. I was overwhelmed or paralyzed by the fear of it, of what I might find. But I think afterwards, after you find out what you've been hiding, you confront it in a way of taking your power back. You confront it, you make peace with it. And the fact that like you have this awareness of wanting to learn more about yourself, like that is a really beautiful part of a journey that you are about to go on. And what you find out on the other side is something that can just play so beautifully into every aspect of your life. So when people walk into my tea ceremonies, they might not know, they might not be Chinese. Mm-hmm. They might not know anything about tea, but it's still that invitation to explore that depth within yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a tradition that you loved growing up. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's recognizing like how you can bring that tradition into your life, even in the busyness, even in the chaos, because that is what it takes to be able to create that space and honor yourself and honor your traditions.
And what's so beautiful is that if you can't acknowledge and honor those parts of yourself, you can't fully be seen.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. I mean, you're the perfect example of someone who I can't even imagine you showing up any other way than how you're showing up right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think that also just takes time, and it takes the awareness of like, yes, I want to explore this part of myself fully, because I know there can be so much trauma tied to identity and so much trauma tied to, you know, understanding your culture. So there are people that I understand that don't want to explore that part of themselves, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I do think that when you honor yourself and you honor something that's so deep within your identity, whether it's culture, whether it's how you grew up, whether it's just a tradition, there's parts of you that begin to open up and begin to heal. Mm-hmm. And again, that just evolves into things that maybe you never even thought of, and for the better, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I love this so much.
What are some of your favorite teas and teas that you offer?
Yes.
In Origins.
So my favorite tea is red tea.
Oh,
so
that?
A lot of people.
I don't think I've ever had that.
I'm going to think you have, because red tea actually is what is commonly known as black tea. So Lipton tea or, you know, any sort of like, yes, there you go. So red tea, or I should say black tea, actually comes from red tea itself. And the history of that is, you know, back in the day when trade was going on and Great Britain was trading with China, they wanted this infamous tea that everybody was hearing so much about. And red tea was really big and popular at the time. So when Great Britain was shipping red tea over, you know, it took about, what, 3-4 months for the ship voyage to get from one end to the other. So during that time, the red tea actually oxidized and became black tea. So when it arrived, the barrels, the crates of tea were darker and a lot more bitter and bold. So when the British were drinking this, they were like, what is this great tea that everyone's talking about? It's actually really bad. So that's why they added cream and sugar. And that's how they consume tea now. So that's a little bit of history behind just tea culture. But my favorite tea is red tea, because it's just, I call it the triple threat of teas, because it has great flavor, it has great taste, and it has great scent, and the color of it. You just get this like amber color when you brew the tea. And when you look at it, you just like automatically feel calm and at peace. And the taste of it, you almost get like fruity notes, but with lingering brown sugar or caramel taste right at the tip of the tongue, but with no added sugar, of course. It's just the tea leaves itself. So just like the layers of, you know, the history of tea.
And now I want to try red tea.
Exactly. Just like the layers of it. It's like, wow, that's why it's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
This has been such a great episode, and I love that you've been like really, really like pulling yourself forward through Origins Tea. Like, it is literally you.
Yes.
And of course, you have so much more to you, but it's really beautiful that you're like living your authentic self through building Origins Tea. And I think that is a beautiful representation of a fully expressed woman that's doing that in life and business. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you both for creating the space for me to share. I think that just going back to some of our conversation, like, it does take the time and it takes the, it takes that, you know, the want to know more about yourself. And I think that's always something that I'm continuing to explore, just because, you know, I've built this company and now I'm offering different varieties of tea. It doesn't mean that like I fully know about myself in the way that like I think I do. I always feel like there's more to learn. And I think that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, we're a constant evolution.
Yeah.
There's always more. You're like, okay, who am I going to find next? What does she look like?
Yes.
So our last question that we have for you is, where in your life do you feel called to be more fully expressed? This can be life, love, or business, but where do you feel like you want to be more expressed?
Yeah, I think being fully expressed is just being true and authentic to your identity. And I feel like like I said before, like our brand, anything we do should be an extension of ourselves. And I'm really just feeling called to explore more about my culture and explore more about who I am as a person. Like, I think that coming back to my culture was a really beautiful piece of the puzzle that clicked right into place at the right time. But there is still a little bit of that trauma, and there's still a little bit of that expectation of, am I Chinese enough or am I American enough in this space? Like, where do I fit in? And the answer to that is that I don't need to fit into any of those spaces. Yeah. I can fit into the space that I create for myself. Mm-hmm. So now it's just exploring, like, what space am I creating for myself? And what does that look like? Because I believe that everything that I do should be an extension of my identity, whether it is my style, whether it's my brand, whether it's the food that I eat, whether it's my aura, my energy. I think it should just be an extension of yourself. And I feel like that is what is calling me to be truly fully expressed in the moment, to explore what that looks like for me and how I can fill up that space in this identity that I'm creating for myself.
Yeah. Double tap on, you don't have to fit the mold.
Yes.
No. Like, let's let that go. All these stories that we've been fed of who we're supposed to be, like, they're not even accurate.
Yeah. No, I think that's the biggest thing is, we grow up with just checklists or, you know, checkboxes all around us, people trying to have us fit into a box that like is so black and white.
And I love what you're saying too, is because it's not just here,
right?
In America, it's in China, it's in Japan, it's in Asia or Mexico, it's anywhere. Like, there's this idea of what your culture is. And if you're not that, then you're not your culture.
Right.
And I think we need to move away from that because we're expanding and we're multidimensional, multi-expressional, multi-expressive people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm 50% this and I'm 50% this.
Yes. But that's how the world tries to define us. Because I think that's the way that they can best understand us is if we put a label to something.
Totally.
But oftentimes
makes it feel safe.
Yes, you can't put a label on who you are as a person. You can't put a label on your identity. So why put a label on it instead of this black and white world? Like, let your world be colorful. Mm-hmm. Your culture should be colorful. It should be bright and lively and vivid.
Yeah.
And I think that we just need to lean more into that and be okay with the fact that we don't fit into a checkbox.
Yeah.
And that's all for the better.
Yeah.
I was also going to say too, but it's also important to go back to like check in the box and be like, okay, what part of me in here do I want to take with me?
Yeah.
I think because like you can do this with astrology. You can do this with your culture, with Chinese. Like, you've poured into learning more about your Chinese culture, which is beautiful. Yes. And you're like, okay, I'm going to take what resonates and who I am from this, but who else am I too?
Yeah. It's almost a start.
Yeah, it's like a starting place.
It plants a seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let it be your ending place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, so good.
Thank you.
This was so fun. So
yes. Oh, thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you for creating the space and thank you for allowing me to share my story. And I can't wait for other people to just hear this and maybe explore a deeper part of themselves that they haven't before.
Yeah. We'll have to do a tea ceremony.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Great. We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.